Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
For the News and Observer, I'm Capitol Bureau Chief and Under the Dome host Dawn Vaughn for this latest episode for the week of April 8th, 2024. Today's show is about an issue that is likely to be a significant one this upcoming legislative session and is a longstanding national issue as well. We're talking about immigration and particularly ICE detainers as part of that. I'm here with my politics team colleagues, Avi Bajpai and Daniel Battaglia, who both have multiple stories publishing this week about immigration, and our other McClatchy newspapers have several different kinds of immigration stories publishing in the next several days as well. You're going to hear a few clips from Avi's interviews with Republican State Representative Destin Hall of Caldwell County and the sheriff of Mecklenburg County. Destin Hall appears to have the caucus's support to be elected speaker for the 2025 session, which of course is after the election this fall, and assuming that Republicans maintain majority or even the supermajority. Hall, this upcoming session is the House Republicans rules chair, which means he controls what bills come to the floor. So what Destin Hall says is likely to be what's gonna be happening this legislative session. Avi, tell us in general the stories you've been working on about immigration.
Yeah, so this is an issue that we've reported on for several years now. It's come up in the legislature several times, and it really dates back to 2018, the 2018 election, when there were several sheriffs who were elected basically on this specific promise that they would limit or maybe even totally end cooperation of their office with ICE, which is the Federal Immigration Authorities. And this was, of course, if you think about 2018, that was the year that there was sort of like a blue wave in the midterm elections. There was a strong backlash on the left to the immigration policies of the Trump administration. And that was sort of the context in which all of this came about. So you have these sheriffs, one of whom is Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden, who you mentioned, Don. He was one of the most sort of vocal critics of you know, working with ICE, opponents of that. And in fact, on his, you know, the first day he was in office, the next day he did an event with, you know, community activists basically, and signed, you know, formalized his office, the end of his office cooperating with ICE. So this was, you know, a big deal.
And sheriff elections are partisan. So are these Democratic sheriffs that are the ones that?
Yeah, Democratic sheriffs in Democratic counties, Mecklenburg, Wake, Durham, Orange, a couple of other ones too. So basically you have this election of sheriffs who say they're going to stop working with ICE. They're going to stop honoring what is called an ICE detainer, which is basically when someone is arrested by a sheriff's office in North Carolina and their fingerprints are run through the federal sort of background check system. And ICE finds out that this is someone who may be in the country illegally and asks the sheriff's office to detain that person for up to 48 hours, even if they've met the conditions of their release. So even if they've posted bond, for example, ICE will say, hold them for at least 48 hours so that we have time to come down and take custody and then decide what to do. And that's basically the crux of this whole sort of battle that's been unfolding for the last 5-6 years.
Okay, so one of your stories has a lot of a long interview you did with Representative Destin Hall. Introduce this clip that we're gonna hear from your recent interview with Hall.
Yeah, so I sat down with Hall, who has been really sort of the point person for Republicans on this. He's led the charge on these bills. He's been the face of this fight with the sheriffs, this battle. And he, in this clip, you're going to hear him basically explain why this bill is necessary. He's going to address some of the sort of the pushback that sheriffs have had, address some of the points they make, and he's going to talk about how ICE actually, what it looks like practically for ICE to, you know, work with sheriff's offices and also prosecutors how this all works.
Okay, so this is Republican State Rep Dustin Hall.
To say that if someone, you know, gets deported, that they're not going to trial or they're not having their day in court, the reality is ICE cooperates with local prosecutor's office and state court. And again, I've talked to these folks. You know, they look at a given situation and sometimes it makes sense. ICE will say, look, we'll hold them and bring them back to court for you in state court whenever you're going to have the hearing. Depending on what the charge is, the local DA's office may say, no, we'd rather you just deal with them, you know, deport, whatever the case may be. But they cooperate with the local prosecutor's office. It's not a situation where ICE is coming in and just somehow taking this person away and the state of North Carolina never hears from them again as it relates to their criminal charges.
That was Representative Dustin Hall about legislation that we've seen before and likely to see again. You also talked to one of the sheriffs you'd mentioned, Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden. So what are we going to hear from him, from your interview with him?
So you're going to hear a clip of McFadden, you know, by all means, check out the story because this is a in-depth story that, you know, we have a wide-ranging conversation about how this all sort of works and what their arguments are for why and why they shouldn't work with ICE. In this specific clip, you're going to hear from McFadden, who's really been at the forefront of, like, resisting ICE over the past several years. He's going to talk about his experience when he sort of looks at the landscape of everyone involved in this, all the different stakeholders, what he kind of makes of, you know, he basically says this is a problem where no one really has a solution. There's been a lot of rhetoric and a lot of back and forth over the last 6-7 years. So you're going to hear that clip from him just now.
This is Sheriff McFadden.
The system is broken. We all know it's broken. We know it's all going to be finger pointing. Nobody can secure the borders. Nobody can cure immigration. But we have to find a better fix than what we're doing now. Simply pointing at each other saying, it's your fault, it's your fault. Okay, when Biden is in office, it's Biden's fault. When Trump's in office, it's Trump's fault.
Right, and that was a clip from Avi's interview with Sheriff McFadden. Who else did you talk to from these stories people read? And what's the overall take from the both sides of this? And is there any middle ground between it? Is it we're just going to see how this plays out in the legislature, elsewhere, this campaign year?
Yeah, so there's obviously a couple of sheriffs who have pushed back, but of course, there are many activists who are deeply involved, passionately involved in this issue. I talked to Stefania Arteaga, who is an activist from Charlotte, who has been, she was with McFadden the day after he was sworn into office when he visited this local bakery and signed a letter basically telling ICE, you know, my office is going to limit its cooperation with you. So she's been involved in this fight for several years. I also talked to some of our listeners will know former state rep Ricky Hurtado. He won a seat in Alamance County in 2020 and then lost in 2022. He talks about this bill as well. You know, I think in terms of takeaways, the main takeaway here is that this is something Republicans, they filed their first bill in 2019. The first bill was vetoed. They filed another bill a couple years later. That one was also vetoed. And what's changed in the last 4 or 5 years, what changed last year, in fact, was that Republicans regained the ability to override Governor Cooper's vetoes. So it's been vetoed twice before, but this time Republicans are ready to bring the bill back. That's what Dustin Hall told us, but we also heard from Lauren Horsch, who's the spokeswoman for Senate Leader Phil Berger. She also said that, you know, he's in favor of taking it up this session, too.
So that's key that the House and Senate have to agree as far as moving something forward. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Avi's going to stick around. We also have Daniel Battaglia, our D.C. correspondent, who's also written some of these upcoming immigration stories. Plus, stay tuned for our picks for Headliner of the Week. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You're listening to Under the Dome. I'm Capitol Bureau Chief Dawn Vaughn, here with Avi Bajpai and Daniel Battaglia, my politics team colleagues. Before the break, you heard Avi talking about these immigration stories that he's been working on and clips from Republican Representative Dustin Hall, the Rules Chair, about what we'll see this upcoming legislative session, about immigration, particularly ICE detainers. And Danielle also has written these immigration stories that we're talking about. They'll be publishing in the next few days at newsobserver.com and other McClatchy papers as well. Danielle, what have you been writing about?
My two articles are specific to migrant children, and I've been looking at this new facility opening in Greensboro by the Department of Health and Human Services that will essentially house undocumented minors when they cross over the border without an adult with them. There's a caveat on that sometimes they do cross over the border with an adult, but if it's not their legal guardian, they are also separated from that adult and taken into custody. Greensboro's facility is considered an influx center, so they will only have children there if one of the main facilities does not have room for the children. These will house, I believe the ages are 13 to 17 year old boys and girls. I've been talking to different people. Our local leaders are very frustrated that the Department of Health and Human Services hasn't been as transparent as they want on information about this new facility in Greensboro. Senator Tillis and Representative Hudson brought it to our attention recently after they received notice that the facility is going to now be able to be used as of March 15th. And they still feel like they just have been left in the dark by HHS on what exactly happens there, the safety of the children, the safety for the community. I spoke with Greensboro Mayor Nancy Vaughn, who's a Democrat, as were the other two, were both Republicans. She says the same thing. She feels very largely left in the dark. There has been community meetings about this facility, but she still has a lot of unanswered questions. I also spoke to a woman who has an organization that originally started with people who were held in Japanese internment camps here in America, and they are now working to stop these kind of detention facilities for minors in America. And they have a lot of concerns about these opening because of past abuses that they have heard about from children who have been held at these facilities.
What do you also see? We've been talking a lot about the state level and immigration in North Carolina. What's the latest from D.C. on how this is playing out there? And I guess the bill is the bipartisan bill. Is that ever going to happen?
I mean, there's a lot of discussion about those bills here, but trying to get both the House and the Senate on board to get that passed is very difficult. The House has a slight now Republican majority, where the Senate has a Democratic majority, also slight. And so even if you can get something past the House, it gets held up in the Senate. And you need to get a bipartisan movement going. And that has proven very difficult on the House side. And so I think it's everyone's guessing game of what's going to happen. But I know there are lawmakers trying to make something happen, including Senator Tillis, who worked with Kyrsten Sinema last session to try to get something in play.
That would be why people talk about D.C. gridlock, although, of course, that happens here, not just traffic. How do you think the presidential election year? I mean, obviously in North Carolina, it's also a state election issue. How much of that do you think changes the conversation about immigration as an issue and potential solutions and the discussion because everybody is running for office?
Well, it's been interesting this year because immigration has always been a huge factor on the Republican side. Now we're seeing Democrats also talk about a need to secure our border. So it's becoming a major issue on both sides. The interesting thing is that they're not coalescing behind one specific solution, and they're pointing fingers at each party saying it's their fault, we can't get anything done. So I think it's going to be a major issue going into 2024. Actually, we're in 2024, but continuing through 2024.
Right. All right. So we still need to get to our headliners, but I look forward to reading Danielle's stories. Avi, your stories. There's something else you wanted to add, Avi, about your work?
I was just going to say really quickly in that vein, as part of this coverage, we asked the candidates for governor and attorney general to weigh in on the ICE bill, of course, here in the state, but also that federal bill that Danielle was talking about. So we'll have anyone who wants to see what their positions are, they can go and check that out as well.
All right. Well, we'll have a lot of spotlight on this issue for the coming days, weeks, and the legislative session and the election year, too. So, all right. So, again, you can read that, of course, at newsobserver.com. And as I mentioned at the top, other McClatchy papers are also writing about the issue across the country. So it is time for our picks for headliner of the week. Avi, why don't you go first? What's your headliner of the week?
I'm going to shout out the solar eclipse that's happening the day this podcast comes out, Monday, April 8th. The previous one was in 2017, but this time there's going to be several tens of millions of people in the path of totality. I myself am going up with my family to upstate New York. We want to go see that up there, so it'll be fun.
So don't look at it, right? That's generally without the special glasses.
Right.
Yeah, we're all told that since little kids, if you're smart, not to stare into the sun, although I hear some people do sometimes. So mine is going to be everyone in local and state government and federal's favorite topic, capital improvements, which was a joint legislative oversight committee, JLOC, this past week, kind of the most fun committees for me anyway, and other government nerds. And capital improvements basically means construction and buildings and just the whole built environment around our lives. And lots of changes happening on UNC system campuses, lots of changes in downtown Raleigh, and I'll be covering those throughout as every single piece of gravel is moved. So Danielle, who or what is your pick for a headliner of the week?
I'm going a little off script in picking just the beauty of North Carolina. I got to go to Lake Lore and Chimney Rock this past weekend with a kind of mini family reunion and just awestruck by how amazingly beautiful that section of North Carolina is. And just for some infrastructure news for you, Dawn, they have lowered Lake Lore to help build out their sewage system because apparently it was deteriorating. And in that, they found an old gold town that was like 100 feet under the water.
That is really cool. Yay, infrastructure. We should make sure infrastructure gets a mention in every podcast. North Carolina is just really, I mean, the pollen, no one likes that. But I was in Virginia, Northern Virginia, in your neck of the woods in the D.C. area for Easter. And like spring just hasn't even come to Northern Virginia yet. Yeah.
80 at Lake Lore. It's 50 here.
It's cold again in North Carolina, but we do have a lot of just beautiful blooms and everything. So happy spring, everybody. I'd like to thank Danielle and Avi for their continuing coverage of immigration issues. Again, don't forget to read all our coverage. And of course, thank you for listening to this from the News and Observer. We'll talk to you next time.
For more from our politics team, subscribe to the News and Observer at newsobserver.com/subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at Under the Dome and NC Insider, and sign up for our weekly political newsletter, also called Under the Dome, at newsobserver.com/newsletters. Thanks for listening.